reading from the book of Proverbs, the 26th chapter. In Proverbs chapter 26, we'll begin reading there in verse 17. There in verse 17, it reads, "Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'Was I not joking?' For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross are burning lips and a wicked heart. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall in it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin." We can see here in Proverbs 26 a series of proverbs that deal with the sin of the tongue, the ugliness, the attitude that we find with those who have a hatred for their fellow mankind. And it really comes down to that. It is that fact there that it is hatred for others that people go about in this way. We note there in Proverbs 26 and verse 20, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." And you would think, you know, if we don't want all the drama that comes with these lying words and the attitude that follows along with it, that it would be easy to get rid of gossip and lying and mistreatment of one another through our speech. But as we noted in our lesson this morning, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. We enjoy things. Unfortunately, as human beings, it seems we enjoy things that lower others so that we can feel better about ourselves. We noted in our lesson this morning that gossip is defined as a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others, or it is a rumor or report of an intimate nature. The idea there is just constant idle talk or rumor about others with the purpose of bringing them down. We noted that the Scriptures use a number of terms to speak of gossip: slanderer, talebearer, whisperer, backbiting, busybodies, troublesome meddler. And again, as we noted this morning, look at that list and ask yourself, which of those would you like to be something that defines you? Which of those do you see of as a positive thing? And yet when we partake in gossip, we're following along with each and every one of those. We noted also in our lesson this morning that throughout the Bible, it speaks against it. Under the law of Moses, in the Psalms, in the writing of Solomon, over and over again, he speaks out against this misuse of the tongue and this hateful attitude towards one another. We noted throughout the New Testament, whether it's looking at what Jesus has to say or those who followed after him, we see over and over again where they rebuke those that partake in these sins of the tongue, that we see gossip and tale-bearing, slander mentioned in a list amidst with those who are thieves and murderers and sexually immoral. And so we find over and over again that God is displeased with this attitude. We noted in our scripture reading this morning in James chapter 3, James very clearly says that the tongue is the most dangerous thing on this earth. All animals have been tamed at some point in time, but no one can tame the tongue. It's likened to the tiny spark that can destroy an entire forest because once it is started, there's no drawing it back in. And that's the thing that we need to understand, is that once things are said, they cannot be unsaid. You can say you're sorry for it, but the thoughts and intents of those words are going to remain and are going to carry on for years. And once those words are sent out, there's no drawing them back. I read an illustration one time of a young boy who was bad about speaking ill about others and lying, and so his mother decided she was going to teach him a lesson. So every time he would say something bad about someone or speak out in anger or lie, she had him drive a nail into the fence out back. And he began to realize how many lies and how horribly he was speaking. And she said, "All right, now every time that you speak kindly to someone and you tell the truth, you go out and you draw a nail out." And eventually, he got all the nails out, and then it hit him. The nails can be removed, but the hole, the mark that they made, remain. And that's the thing. When we use our tongue in this way, the destruction that it renders, it can never be truly repaired. And as we look at further in our lesson this evening, we note that the purpose of Christians is for building up one another, not tearing down one another. You look throughout the entirety of the New Testament and how Christians are to interact with one another, and it's always with this purpose of edifying one another, of building one another up. In fact, when you look at the letter that Paul wrote to the church there in Corinth, that first epistle, he rebukes them time and time again of their attitude toward one another and how they were destroying one another instead of encouraging and helping one another. That even with the practice of miraculous spiritual gifts, they weren't using those in helping one another, but in saying, "Hey, look, mine's better than yours," or "You don't have as many as I have," and things of that nature. They were speaking evil against one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 29, the Apostle Paul says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." To me, that is one of the most difficult things that the Scriptures present for us to do. Because it's so easy to just kind of bypass the mind and let the mouth speak. And you look at the world today and people are proud of the fact that they don't filter themselves, that they're not watchful over what they're saying. They just say what they feel in the moment. That's the most un-Christian attitude that is possible to have. And yet people arrogantly speak of how unfiltered they are. You see, here the Apostle Paul is telling the Christians there in Ephesus, he says, filter. Watch what you're going to say. Think about what you're going to say. If it's not going to be helpful, don't say it. Don't be going out spewing these words that destroy, but speak only such words as are edifying. You see, we've got to be careful in what we say about one another. In Galatians chapter 5, there in verse 15, Paul really sums it up. He says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." If we're always tearing one another down, if we're always trying to rebuke and destroy one another, we will be successful. Not only with destroying the person that we're trying to tear down, but in destroying ourselves as well. And we need to ask ourselves the question, would we want someone approaching us or speaking of us in such a manner? Would we want them to treat us the way that we are treating them? We need to make sure that not only are we not presenting the gossip and trying to tear others down, but that we're not encouraging those that are doing such. Remember, John in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 11 talks about those that were teaching false doctrine, and that if you greet them, then you're participating in that false doctrine. But would not that same principle apply when someone is going about and obviously spreading gossip, and we stand there and we listen and we go, "Uh-huh, that's interesting." Are we not participating in that same evil deed? But some would say, "Well, it's not gossip if it's true." Well, stop and think about what you're saying there for just a moment. When you look at the idea of gossip, it's not just rumor, but just spreading personal information that's not available for public consumption. We need to ask ourselves, when we're looking at these things, if it's a sin in their lives, should we be going out and telling everybody else about that sin, or what should we be doing? Well, the Scriptures are very clear. If we're aware of sin in a brother or sister's life, we're to go to that individual In Galatians chapter 6, there in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness or meekness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." If we're aware of sin in someone's life, we need to be willing to go and speak to them in private. That's what Jesus presented. If you look over Matthew chapter 18, there beginning in verse 15, he talks about if you're aware of something, if your brother sins, you go and show him his fault in private. Nowhere does Jesus say if you're aware that someone is in sin that you go off and you tell everybody else about the sin that he's committing. When you become aware of something that is wrong in someone's life, your first response should be, "I love this brother or sister, and I care about them, and I want to help them." And so you go, and note, he says, you tell them in private. If he listens to you, then you have gained a brother. Now, Jesus does say, go and tell some others, but not for the sake of spreading gossip, but to get them and to come with you so that you, along with those couple of other brothers, can sit down and talk with this individual and try to encourage them to make what's wrong in their life right. And he says, the reason you bring others is so that by the word, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact can be confirmed. They're there purely as witnesses. You're not spreading gossip, but you're trying to get others to help you in encouraging this brother to make right what is wrong. And then, if they refuse that, then you take it to the church. Nowhere in any of this does it say, take it to the individual members of the church in private and spread all the gory details about whatever brother or sister so-and-so is caught up in. And yet that seems to be the way that a lot of individuals want to go about it. Now, if we don't think that it's important enough for us that there's a need for us to help them in the saving of their soul, if their soul is not in danger, then why speak of it? It's not important enough to talk about. You see, if it's not sin, then we need to be quiet about it. If it's sin, we need to go and speak to them in private. We never are given the responsibility to go and to spread this to others. You see, we need to understand that not all speaking of others is gossip. There are some things that are provided for us to tell. We were excited this weekend to spread the news that Brooklyn got a car. I was just happy for her, and we were rejoicing in that. And that's not spreading gossip. Now, I did make sure that she had the chance to get it out there first, and I wanted her to present it out there before I started spreading it to everyone. I had to hurry her up because I was excited for her. Same thing, if someone is pregnant and having a child and they're exciting and they're spreading the news, then we have the right to go and to continue to spread that good news, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. But we need to always question ourselves as to whether what we have to say should or should not be said. Again, going back, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. We need to look at what we're saying and ask ourselves, is this something that is helpful? One quick question that you can think about is, would I be willing to say this with this person that I'm speaking about? Would I say it to them or in front of them? And if your answer is no, it's a pretty good indication you don't need to be saying anything, that you don't have a right to be speaking about that. We should always examine our motives in what we're saying. And that brings us to the last point in our lesson today, is when does my speech condemn me? Assuming that I'm not starting a rumor, and if we're starting a rumor, then you know right then and there you're in the wrong. What are some things that can help us in determining whether or not we should say something? Now, my dad had a rule growing up, one that I've kind of lived by. When in doubt, don't do it. If you're not sure if you should say anything, just don't say it. That pretty much cuts out a lot of the things that we might be thinking about. But some other things to consider is, will it help or will it hurt the person by me repeating this? Is it going to help them and strengthen them, or is it going to discourage them? Is it going to help or is it going to hurt? If it's going to hurt someone, then keep it to yourself. There's no need to say anything. If it's going to help someone, then you should be talking to them first and foremost and trying to help and encourage them. Another question we might ask is, would it be better left untold? You see, the thing that we need to understand, and I think when you look at all that is said about the tongue throughout the Scriptures, silence is best. It's better to not say anything than to risk saying the wrong thing. And even though it might be something that is true, would it not be better sometimes to just not say anything? Now, the question we can ask is, will anyone be edified by me saying this? Going back to our previous point, you know, Christians are here to build one another up, not tear one another down. And in me saying this, am I edifying someone or am I tearing someone down? Am I building up my brethren or am I discouraging them? You know, when you talk to people about attending at the local congregation, there have been numerous times where I've heard people say, well, I quit going to that church because they're always gossiping. Now, that's sad that that's said about the church. And we need to be considering our speech and making sure that we are doing what we can to edify one another. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, the wise man records and says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. We need to think about what we're saying and be that trustworthy individual rather than the talebearer. Another question we might ask is, what is our motive? What's the reason behind what I have to say? And if we're honest, and if we're really honest, we've all been guilty of this at some point in time probably. If we're honest, we're wanting to lower somebody else, make them appeal a little bit lower so that we can feel a little bit better about ourselves. We want to talk someone else down so that we look better. There's an old saying that says you can never build yourself up by tearing others down. We need to ask ourselves, am I seeking to build or destroy, to hurt or to heal? Am I going to cause unnecessary suspicion by saying this? By helping them or destroying them? A question that needs to be at the forefront of everything that we have to say. And as we mentioned this morning, it's not just in what we say in our speech, but in what we say online, in our phone conversations and our texting. You know, it's not just through the mouth that the tongue does great damage. We need to ask the question, is it true? This is something I find in social media especially. That little share button is so easy to hit. And you look, you see something, you think, well, that's interesting. And you hit share. And I love the memes where it's got like Patrick Stewart giving a quote from Harry Potter and a quote from Lord of the Rings and a quote from Star Wars. And then it's signed Captain Kirk. You know, and it really shows that people don't pay attention to what they're presenting. They don't really look at things and they just instantly attribute something as being true without investigating the veracity of it. You find this in the realm of politics. There are so many lies about every politician that's put out that it's hard to know exactly what is true. It's really hard to verify the truth of the matter. We need to be asking ourselves before we hit the share button, is it true? Can I verify this as being accurate? I can't tell you how many times I've come across a quote and I thought it was by one individual, and then when I check it on Google, I find out it's not that person at all. And I was about to share and attribute it to someone who maybe wasn't even alive when it was said. We need to ask ourselves, can we verify that this is in fact the truth? Another question we might ask is, will anyone be made better by it? Again, going back to our previous thought of we as Christians are to be edifying one another, to be building up one another. Are they going to be made better by telling it, or are we going to ruin someone's life? And another question to consider is it something that has been repented of? If it's been repented of and their life has been changed, it needs to be left behind. Just imagine if God treated us with our sins the way that we treat others with theirs. That, okay, yeah, they've repented, but I'm still going to talk about it over and over and over again. And I'm still going to spread rumors about them, even though they've repented. It seems the Apostle Paul kind of dealt with that when he talked about all the troubles that he went amongst, and he even had troubles amongst brethren. And it seems that some didn't even want to let go of the life that Paul had lived, even though he had done all that he could to change and to show that he was willing to do anything for the cause of Christ, to spread the gospel. If someone has repented of whatever you have to say, then we need to leave it behind. We need to keep our mouths shut about it. There's no need to spread of that which has been repented of and God has forgiven. We need to be working on forgiving it ourselves. On the flip side, it's not just our speech, but it's encouraging others and theirs. We need to ask the question, should I even be listening to this? Am I going to help the one who is spreading the rumors by receiving what he is telling? Am I encouraging them in what they're doing by standing there and listening to what they have to say? Again, going back to, as we mentioned before, John refers to those who take part in false teaching by just extending their hand and saying, have a good day. We can do the same by encouraging others in their sin. Do I want to be an accessory to the commission of a sin against another by receiving information that I should not be privy to? The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22 says to Timothy to not lay his hands too quickly on anyone and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. In other words, when you receive a negative comment about someone, don't jump on the bandwagon and join in with them. Check to see if it's true. And if it is, strive to help the person. He says you keep yourself free from sin. We need to remind ourselves that there are always two sides to every controversy. In every congregation that I've come across that has dealt with a split or something, there's always been two sides to the story. And too many times we listen to one side and that's all that takes place. And we gain our hatred for the opposite side because we've only listened to the one side. And we need to look at both sides of the story. That applies in everything, whether it's politics or reading various things about circumstances online. We need to make sure that we're getting both sides of the story. Well, I feel better towards the one that's being talked about because I've listened to the things that are being said, because I've listened to the gossip. Is it going to change my opinion unnecessarily about a certain individual? Again, when someone begins to tell us of something wrong in someone's life, perhaps a good response would be, well, have you talked to them about it? And if their answer is no, then definitely you can say, well, I don't have a need to hear that. That's not for me to know. You have this against your brother. You need to go and deal with this individual and try to help them instead of going about to everyone else and trying to destroy them. Is it going to change our opinion of someone because we're listening to things that are being spread by a gossiper? Am I assisting in strengthening the character of one whom I allow to gossip about others? Again, we're allowing them to go on into sin and we're encouraging them in that bad behavior. When you encourage bad behavior, what do you get? More bad behavior. Can I in good conscience say that I'm a friend of one whom I receive information about that, again, I don't have a need to hear, that I'm not privy to? The question over and over again, we should think, should I even be listening? And when we hear about the wrongdoing of someone else, do we not have the responsibility, instead of encouraging that gossip and going on and spreading it, again, we have the responsibility to go to that person and to talk to them. And I think the first thing we should do is talk to the person who's spreading the gossip and say, I've got a problem with what you're doing, and the Scriptures have a problem with what you're doing. And you need to take this fault that you have with this brother and go and talk to him. Again, following in what the Lord set out in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. In participating, in listening to gossip, and giving a silent agreement to gossip. Are we not part of the problem in the local churches that people have been driven away because of the situation of the gossip? Should I even be listening? No. When you look at the number of people who left service to the Lord because of unfounded charges or people tale-bearing about them and presenting things that are not true. Remember, John rebuked Diotrephes, talking about how he spread things about the brethren. We need to make sure that we're not part or parcel in any of that, that we don't participate in those evil deeds. We've got to be careful in what we say. We've got to be careful in how we speak about others. The old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, well, it's pretty obvious when you start watching your children or others that you have an influence over, and if you see that they're carrying on in these things, it might be that it's a learned behavior. And therefore, we need to begin to teach them from our own example and making changes in our own life that these things ought not be, that we're not guilty of carrying on with this gossip. The gossiper, the backbiter, the talebearer, the slanderer, they are never in a good list throughout the Scriptures. They do much evil and they do absolutely no good. Again, as we looked in our Scripture reading there in Proverbs 26 and verse 20, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and when there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." I've seen this in congregations where you had those that were just always stirring up trouble. Just over and over, there was always a problem, a congregation never having any peace. And then, for whatever reason, that person moves away, and all of a sudden, the congregation just enjoys the peace that is there. And all the problems that had been there before begin to disappear because the lack of wood, the lack of stirring up the strife. But all it takes is one whisper to come in, one gossiper to come in and begin to stir it up again, and those flames, they can destroy a congregation. Not only do they destroy a congregation, but they destroy that individual. And it can lead to the destruction of others. Those who are listening to your gossip or are participating in it, they're encouraging this, and therefore they are guilty of gossip as well. Those who are turned away from the Lord because of gossip, we are guilty of turning them away, of causing them to stumble, of causing them to leave the Lord. And we're going to face that in the day of judgment. Gossip is not something funny. Gossip is not something that we should be lighthearted about, that it really doesn't matter. It is something that we will face on the day of judgment. And if we participate in it, whether we're saying it or receiving it or encouraging those who are, we're going to face judgment for it. You look throughout the Scriptures, and the desire of the apostles and those who were encouraging the brethren in the beginning was for unity. And there can never be true unity when there's a whispering campaign going on in the background. When people are constantly undercutting one another by gossiping. And we need to be careful that we're not guilty of that. And this is, again, a way that the world can look and see that we're different. That we're not like everyone else, because the rest of the world sees no problem with gossip, sees no problem with speaking about others. And they can see that we don't want to be a part of that. And they might ask the question, why? And it gives us a chance to tell them of Jesus, of His will, and of His plan for us, and how we should strive to be more like Christ and less like the world.